In the background of U.S. markets, we have seen increasing concern and uncertainty around regulatory risks, specifically as it is related to China-based companies listed here in the U.S. and just sort of what the profile for the Chinese economy looks like broadly going forward. Joining us now to talk about all of this is Tiffany Hsiao, Managing Director and Portfolio Manager at Artisan Partners. Tiffany, thanks so much for jumping on. I'd love to just start with, in your broadest outline, how you guys are thinking about regulatory concerns in China for companies that are doing business in China and how maybe that profile has changed in the last handful of months.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing in China is really a catch-up to global regulatory standards in terms of, particularly when it comes to data privacy and antitrust regulation. And a lot of these policies have been openly discussed in consultation papers and discussion with the industry ecosystem and peers. So I think a lot of the regulatory surprises to the market really aren't that much of a surprise for the more astute students of Chinese regulatory frameworks.
And Tiffany, you write about this a little bit in a recent paper, Regulating Risks in China, Sorting Signal from Noise. And you talk about how this is sort of a maturation of China's version of capitalism, which, of course, is intertwined with communism. It does seem abrupt, right, for external observers who are not close observers like yourself. What has sort of been the drumbeat to this? And then what follows it, right? Does this keep going? Do we continue to see more of these types of regulations put into place?
Yeah, so China is a planned economy. We do have to keep that in mind when you're investing in China. If you look at the past 20-year history of investing in China, you know, China started off with developing its financial system, its property industry, and then it moved on into building the digital infrastructure with you know, companies that are now household names even to the U.S. investor. But the next stage of growth where China really needs to deepen its self-sufficiency and expertise really are in areas such as semiconductor and software and healthcare. In these three particular areas, China is still importing 70 to 80% of its own necessities. And with a lot of talented people in China looking towards making perhaps in the government's mind shorter term gains in sectors such as, you know, e-commerce, online gaming, there's a mismatch in the talent, right? China needs people to work on the next generation of oncology drugs, the next generation of, you know, semiconductors that could rival U.S. Companies. But that is not, you know, being done because there are so many other opportunities in the economy, which the government thinks is already well developed and actually should be moderated because of some, you know, personal data privacy issues and also some antitrust behavior.
Tiffany, when I'll just single out Alibaba here, and the stock is down about 22% over the past 3 months, just given a lot of these concerns, certainly Didi, others under pressure. How should a U.S. investor approach some of these stocks? When is that, what is the buy signal here?
Yeah, it's difficult to say, but I think that after this round of regulation, the rules will be much more clear and investors will have to make that decision. Do I want to continue to invest in an industry that is now highly regulated and growing at half the growth rate that it used to? Or do I want to invest in these emerging industries which have the full government support in terms of regulatory support and are growing at rates 2-3x of players like Alibaba? So I think in China, there is an abundance of growth opportunities. And I would encourage people to really look beyond your traditional comfort zone. There are some really world-class companies in the making. You just have to know where to look and to look deeper.
So can you give us a little hint of what those might be, Tiffany? Which is it, the industries that you were talking about before in terms of healthcare and semiconductors, or should we be looking elsewhere?
I'll just give you some really staggering statistics. Let's just take healthcare as a singular example. China obviously is going through a demographic problem. There's an aging society, and it comes with the age-related illnesses, for example, joint replacement. You know, in China, less than 0.1% of joint replacements are done by robots. That is less than one-tenth of here in the United States. And based on the planning by the government, they want to make sure that over the next 5 years, that improvement is 50-fold. There's actually a critical reason behind that, why robots are so critical in China's surgical landscape. That's because, again, a lot of the top talents in the industry went into perhaps e-commerce companies. In China, less than 5% of surgeries are done by surgeons under the age of 45. There's an aging problem. It's surgeon population. So you do need next generation innovation, for example, surgical robots, to really step in and help fill the gap.
This is really interesting stuff, Tiffany. I love it. To turn away from this for just a second, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about what's going on with Chinese economic growth, and in particular, the curbs that the Delta variant spread also now seem to be putting on the economy there because of the government sort of shutting certain things down. How much of a concern is that for you?
That is a short-term concern because China is taking a zero COVID policy. But I think over the long run, it doesn't impair China's key growth pillars, which are that it has really a large amount of human capital talent. It has now a very patient capital pool. Despite the volatility you see in the market, the private equity market is still very buoyant. And then finally, the government is supportive. Regulatory support is there for industries where the government wants to direct innovative capital and really to foster that growth and innovation.
All right, we'll leave it there. Tiffany Hsiao, Managing Director and Portfolio Manager at Artisan Partners. Tiffany, really appreciate you taking the time to jump on this morning.